Obviously, there should be no discussion in a scientific mission to a dead planet with nothing but rocks about moving weapons. I mean, this does make no sense at all, boys and girls. So it's almost academic whether it's the howitzer, and move the weapon means you remove it from the image, or they physically moved a weapon, which raises an interesting idea, because it was in an image that came out that we weren't supposed to see. So let me show you what we found, and I am tending toward hypothesis number two. So let me see now, where have I put
and
this?
And if this is anything like I might suspect, correlate with some of the other reverse about weaponry.
Let me see where I have this. All right. Okay.
How are we going?
Okay, this is an image that we put up on the web 2 days ago. All right, and this is taken from the rover. All right, so we'll start with this. I need to get over to this little guy, all right, and get rid of him. All right, now what you have here are the airbags. All right, we're really getting really used to these airbags. This is what I call the conning tower of the lander. This is the Sagan Memorial Station, which I find drippingly ironic. This is the high-gain antenna. This is the camera mast, because it sticks up. All right, there's some other gadgetry on here we don't have to worry about. This is now the ramp down which the rover drove. In fact, you can see on the dirt in front of us right here, you can see the footprints. This is the frame number, 81220, found on NASA's website. And then over on the right, over here, there's something that does not belong. And the more I looked at it, the more I realized it really didn't belong. Because it's not the airbag. In fact, it looks nothing less than or more than a Chris Craft looked at from the stern heading away from you. Here's the hull. All right. Here's the decking. All right. Here's the cabin, okay?
Oh, my.
See the shadow going down in front of the airbag? It is a complete, discrete, three-dimensional object about the size of the rover pedal against which we are nestled. Now, there's also something very amazing on the stern, which is creating this whomping reflection, and the reflection is so severe...
That's what's causing... The CCDs, because these are CCD cameras. In fact, these cameras are borrowed from the Kodak digital camera you can go and pick up at, Walmart, right? They literally flew two commercial Kodak CCD cameras on the rover. And what happens with CCDs is the bright reflections make very strange artifacts because of the way the charge-coupled device creates an image.
So you can see that this reflection is coming from something which is intensely geometric, all right, right here, and is 3D. You can see the shadow here. You're looking inside it. There's more stuff here and here. Anyway, this is bizarre. So what I did is I went looking for other images. That's, of course, what we do. And it didn't take me long until I found one. And let me show you where we found it, all right? Let's see. I need to go, let's see, which file? I need to go to the D drive.
Why don't I play another reversal while you're looking for
Okay,
that?
Go ahead.
Okay, on the same token, I want you to remember what Richard just said. You can see inside it. It's almost got this hollow appearance. And this is Donna Shirley speaking, and she's waiting for the color images to come down. Okay, this is after the original black and white images have come in.
Processing lab, and I was just talking to Bill Green, who is our image processing laboratory leader, and he said it'll only take them a few minutes to process the pictures once they get them back.
Only take them a few minutes. Why is it taking them a long time? Or a few minutes is not long. There's two reversals here. The first one says, hiding the figures.
I have my figures.
And then she says, hollow, they've seen it, revealed.
Hollow, they've seen it, revealed.
What's going on? What is being hidden? What is hollow? What have we seen? They've made a mistake, and they're covering up rapidly.
Okay, during, here we are. During the six-day press conference, a friend of mine, Carol Stoker, formerly with the University of Colorado, now with NASA Ames, sat up there, and I don't know whether you've gotten to that press conference, David.
Which
Carol Stoker's, the VR press conference?
No, I have not gotten to that one yet.
Carol, who loves to speak in public, was incredibly nervous. The Ames group, I suspect, is not willingly going along with the cover-up. And so what they did in their presentation is they put out data that they weren't supposed to, hoping that other folks would pick up on it. And as part of it, this is the VR reconstruction of the landing site. This is in the computer. This little billboard right here, all right, let me isolate this so that you can see it clearer. This little billboard right here is a stereo pair of the image you just saw from the rover looking back at the lander. And right here on the left-hand side, let me go back to my magnifier, all right, you can see right here that there is another view of our whatever this is, which is even better, which is even sharper, and is actually stereo linked. You can actually see the geometric parallax against this interesting pyramid shape in the background. Now, I put on the website a couple days ago this version, the one that I have. Nope, not that one. Not that one. This one, all right? Okay. Okay, we put this on the website, and we basically said, okay, NASA, this is the lander. These are the airbags. What's this? All right? And a day later, on the NASA website, came the answer. Let me show you what they responded with. This is really cute. All right? Now, I got to find the right file. This is one of the major problems that this investigation has. You get too many images. Not it either. All right, why don't you play another reversal while I'm looking for this? Okay.
Sure, okay. I want to know, what is their intention on Mars? I mean, what I'm finding in reverse is so many reversals about weapons and guns and missiles, an intense interest in the face on Mars. And here we have a fascinating reversal here where she's talking about what they're going to do when they go back in the year 2005.
In 2005, we'll send a sample return mission, provided the budget passes Congress, we'll send a sample return mission to bring some pieces of Mars back to Earth so we can really start to really understand Mars.
And in reverse, she's... Now, listen, there's one word here I'm not too sure on, so I'll let you decide. It either says you will place some missiles or you will face some missiles. And I've been, and I can't distinguish whether it's face or place. So let's run this.
You will pass the missiles. You will pass the missiles.
The missiles.
You will pass the missiles.
So I can't work out whether that is place or face. I'm going to do it one more time. Huh? Face. That's really what I finally documented was face. You will face the missiles.
Mm. Again, derrigueur for a scientific mission.
Sorry?
I said derrigueur for a scientific mission to Mars. We always take missiles to Mars. Doesn't everybody know that? I'm being a tad ironic. All right.
And
I've got it.
Okay.
I've got it. Okay.
I'll run with another one after this.
It's loading. All right, go back and play the one that triggered all this.
Oh,
about
right.
Moving the weapon.
Okay. Well, all right. Take me
now,
just
the
a
guy
second.
Who's talking about moving the weapon is none other than the Mars rover manager. Remember, the spacecraft teams are hierarchical in that you have a manager of the whole thing, and then you have teams on the lander and teams on the rover, and it's the head of the rover team who's talking about they couldn't deploy the rover because they had to move the weapon.
Right.
Weapon?
Exactly true.
Yeah.
That is the context
now remember,
of the whole thing.
That's the part I was going to get to, that night we were supposed to roll the rover down the ramp suddenly. All right. This now is a montage of images from the rover team that are very revealing. All right. First of all, let me show you this one. This one Ron found yesterday after I sent it to him over the web. He actually put it up on his Mac and was able to view it in stereo. All right, this is on Sol 10. And what he discovered, which I will show you here, is that if you view this in stereo, this one and this one, notice that the details of these reflections here and then here are different. All right? Now, you're only, you know, you're maybe 10, 15 feet away, and your separation is the width maybe of this podium. So how in the world can a reflection change so radically over that tiny distance that far away? The answer is that they were not taken simultaneously. They were taken sequentially. And what he says is that if you view this in stereo, this stuff is actually blowing out toward the camera. It's crystal clear in 3D that this stuff is literally blowing in the wind off whatever this structure is. Now, this airbag business, the airbag was four layers of, not Mylar, but a material that's basically used to make bulletproof vests. There's a term for it, Kevlar. Oh, God. Okay, guys, you're there. Yes. I don't normally walk around with one, but obviously you do in L.A. Only in certain... Yeah. Anyway, Kevlar has not been known to blow in the wind a lot, all right? If it did, it wouldn't be very useful in bulletproof vests, right? However, I'm going to show you a sequence of photographs that demonstrate conclusively that whatever is over this thing is very filmy, very, very, it's almost like gauze. It's like Mylar, and it was being periodically between the pictures that we've got pulled off, uncovering this thing. Now, that is bizarre because there's nothing supposed to be down there that's of that quality and consistency. These are Kevlar bags. They were big, they were heavy, they were designed not to scratch or rip or tear when this thing bounced down from several hundred feet at several, you know, tens of miles per hour, moving sideways. The first bags they made with one layer ripped, so they had to make four layers. No, that stuff is sturdy. This stuff is flimsy. That's an inside joke. Okay, so let me back down here and show you the pièce de résistance, as my French grandmother used to say. Because this set of data was so stunningly confirmatory, and what they gave us, again, this was in response to me posting on the website the NASA, this is this, and whatever, and what's this? Because absolutely unequivocally, they gave us this image. And this is another stereo pair. And it shows the material in a different configuration. Now, let me go back and bring up our gentle enhancement of this, which is, where are we here? Okay. I need to go, oh, back here. All right. And down to this. Okay. All right. There. Now, not only, oh, I'm too far. All right. Not only can we see that it is a three-dimensional object with a hull and Mylar dripping down, look at the shreds hanging off, but over here on the right, you can see the shadows of spokes, which is coming from sunlight, coming down through this object. This is not a deck. This is a flying saucer-shaped object with a circular disc-like hull, a segmented hull, and as soon as I saw this, I recognized what it is. Is anybody here familiar with a Searle flying disc or with T. Townsend Brown technology? We have sent an anti-gravity spacecraft to Mars carried piggyback on the Pathfinder lander. And the rover manager was worried because the IMP camera looking down could see this. It was sticking out. So they had to move the weapon. And I will show you now from the IMP the looking down shots, if I can remember where they're hiding. What is what? Hang on. There is a technology called electrogravitics, which was extensively researched from the 20s forward by a physicist, a Navy admiral named T. Townsend Brown, in conjunction with another physicist in Ohio named Byfield, who worked with Einstein. All of his work was classified by the U.S. Navy along about the mid-50s. There were several experiments. There are prototype patents. There are plans showing levitation of these disks in vacuum chambers in tethered flight. Separately in England many years ago, a guy named John Searle in the 50s invented a separate set of similar devices and actually flew them in free flight, and the photographs are now available and are on the web. And he recently came out from undercover and has been doing a series of briefings and has released a video. And when you look at the video of his discs, they are absolutely one for one of this thing, particularly with the spoked segmented sections on the back. Now let me see. What was I looking for? Anybody remember what I was looking for? Oh, the rover view. Yes, the IMP camera view of the same thing. All right. Let's see. Nope, need to go here. Okay. Believe. Okay, now here is something very important to think about. This is the most strikingly terrestrial-looking object on the entire Martian landscape. It is the most detailed. It is the most uneroded. It has mylar on it blowing in the wind and draped and changing in reflection depending upon when the photographs are taken. Mylar is not likely to be found on the Martian surface. All right? We cover things. NASA covers things with mylar to protect them against abrasion, thermal shock, sunlight, contamination, dust, whatever. When you look at, now, this is 81204, or 205 rather, and I was just shown a very remarkable, detailed, hard copy version of this image, which hopefully will not go away, will come back. And what amazed me is how incredibly confirmatory it is. Now, what I have to do is to zoom this up here, so hang on a second. Okay, this, as you can see, is after the rover deployment. There's the ramps. It's been composited from a couple of images. Notice the rover's missing now from its track. Here's the airbag, and right here, is the tail fins of the weapon. This is not rover. This is technology with a shadow projecting out, and we have done nothing to this image. All right? Except put it up. Now, the airbag is behind it. All right? The airbag is back here. This is the airbag. This is the covering. Notice the shredding. Notice how the sharp edge geometry and the detailed, including this. This is the carrier. It's like a clamshell for this, quote, weapon. And when you look at the rover or at the lander, you're looking from up here down across the airbag, and this spiky stuff is this stuff right here. That fin sticking out is this stuff right here. Let me go down and get it. Well, it's about the size of the rover pedal. It's about, you know, maybe 2 feet by 3 feet. It's not very big. Well, here's the interesting question. Was it meant to be carried all the way to the surface? This conical shape, this boat hull shape, and this baby buggy carriage kind of open clamshell, You know how the bonnet of a baby carriage opens up and then closes down, or the bonnet of a 1947 convertible? Why do I keep picking 47? I wonder why. Anyway, this thing appears to be another aeroshell in which was contained the device, all right? Implying that it was attached to the lander and it was meant to be deployed at altitude after entry but before landing. Implying it was meant to go and do something else. And the fact is that if it did not detach and was carried down with the lander, there would have been a lot of extra mass on the lander, right?
Yes.
We landed 40 miles long. And they cannot satisfactorily explain the navigation errors that resulted in landing long. If I'm carrying extra mass into the surface, I, because of the basic laws of physics, will land long. The friction with the air will slow me less rapidly because I have more inertia, more momentum, and I will land long. In other words, there's a consistency here. And the fact that the rover guy says, we have to move the weapon because they see it, or something like that. And was, repeat back what exactly they say.
You said more than that.
Yeah, we got more than that.
Okay, we have
just,
more.
Let's just play this one first. We missed it. Move the weapon.
Right out, Ernest Lander.
No, wrong one. This is the one I wanted to play. The whole reversal, and I've clipped off the first half of the reversal. I think I've got it in another file. But the whole reversal says, evil in it, lie down in this lander. But this version only says, lie down in this lander. Let me get another file, but I'll play you this one.
Lie down, Ernest Lander. Lie down, Ernest Lander. Lie down, Ernest Lander.
And on the other file, I've got evil in. I just wasn't on that particular one. Let me pull this one up as well. There's clearly something in there other than what they're telling us, and yeah, I've got so many reversals that validate this. And no, I don't have it here. I am sorry. Okay, no, we don't have it. I've just got that one. Sorry?
Huh? You have the Art Bell Show reversals.
Sure. Which one are you talking about in particular? Right. Yeah, well, I started with the NASA reversals, which are played on the Art Bell Show, and some of them were just extremely clear about extra interest in Mars. Guns, weaponry, may the research save this gun, and perhaps we can pull some of them up and play them too. What I'd like to do first, though, if we've got time, is cue up the video. Have you? Do you have more to show there?
No.
Okay. Before we go to the NASA ones, before we go to the ones on Mars, I want to do a demonstration first. For any people out there who are still doubting whether reverse speech is real or not, I'm going to pull up a track now. Just takes a little time to get it up, and I'm going to play you the audio first, and then we're going to move over to the video of this audio clip I'm about to play, and. Sort of having trouble with the lighting here, seeing my text. Okay. This is this reversal, when I found it, I really didn't know what it meant. It's actually a fairly straightforward reversal talking about the operations on Mars.
David, hang on one second. All right. Yeah. If you look at this image now, this is from the Goddard archive. The reason the airbag was all, and it's the only airbag that didn't tuck under, is because it's draped over the weapon. The Chris Craft, the clamshell, the thing. It's lumped over this thing, and they had to tuck it under separately because that obstruction is sitting there basically under the covers, causing the bag to billow up the way it is. Sorry. But
no, that's fine. Which is a very interesting point, because that reversal occurs when he's talking forwards about why they can't get the rover
precisely
off the lander.
Yep.
Complimentary. Why can't they get the rover off the lander? Because they missed that move the weapon. Okay. Just the correlations I have found with my work that really, to me, made not much sense. I was really quite perplexed with these reversals on Mars. What do they mean? And just the connections with what Richard is showing now and what the reversal's saying, the two really do tie together quite remarkably well. And I reaffirm again that we have not compared notes, and he deliberately kept me in the dark And I was, whilst I was being very frustrated for the last 2 weeks because of that, now I'm not, because now it's all coming together. Okay. Sorry?
Because maybe it's a weapon.
A big gun. I've got reversals that say the big gun on Mars, the missiles they are taking. In the reversals I played on the Art Bell show, they're talking about the gun. Why are they taking a gun to Mars? I don't know. I have no idea. But the overwhelming theme, I have found numerous reversals. I would say probably the strongest theme I found in the Mars transcripts is, well, actually there's two themes. Is one, what we're being told is going on is only part of the story. There is a second agenda. I have theorized a second mission. There is two events happening simultaneously, and there is zero doubt in my mind about that. One is the overt mission that they're showing to the public, and there is a second mission going on as well. If I've got time, I want to play about 3 or 4 reversals after this video I'm about to show you about maybe why they are really there. And I've got reversals that discuss that as well. Okay, so we're going to move on. And I want to, if we can have the video queued up, I'm going to play you the audio on this first. And what we have here... Sorry? It could very well be. Yeah, the shielded vessel, a very clear reversal. I play that so...
Yeah, we're riding a shielded vessel. That was during the Don Savage Ray Villard episode.
Okay, so here we go with another track now, and they're just talking generally about the operational stuff that's going on.
And then it turns back and continues on its way to the location that we had specified. And it's these type of motions that we've been performing over the last 7 days and have been working exceptionally well.
Okay, I want you to listen very carefully to this audio because it will help you significantly when I play the video. And I didn't know what this meant, and someone rang the Art Bell show and explained it. There's several reversals here. The first one says, the Alpha search the hill and they shake the loose dirt. Now, initially, that doesn't seem to make much sense, but maybe Richard knows more about this than I do, but the alpha beams in the spectrometer?
Yeah, the alpha spectrometer.
Yeah, right, searching for it, something and shaking the dirt, the rover wheels moving or the beams bombarding. I'm not a scientist. I mean, I...
Well, it's basically analyzing the composition of what's out there.
So the reversals is very simple. It's just some operational discussions.
The alpha sets the hill and the shake loose dirt. The alpha sets the hill and the shake loose dirt.
And once more.
The alpha sets the hill and the shake loose dirt.
And here's another reversal that I didn't play on the Art Bell program because it just made no sense to me at all.
Okay.
Until this afternoon when I spoke to one of the other people who are going to come up and speak to you after. I'm just going to play the reversal with no explanation for it. I want you to listen carefully and remember this one too. It says, with our seeds in it.
With our seeds in it. With our seeds in it. With our seeds in it.
You can hear that, right? Very clear reversal. Okay, so what I want to do now, if we can cue up the video...
Hold on one second. Before we do the video, I found the image I'm looking for. I have the computer? We have a color image. Remember the color image. After the airbags were retracted. All right? Let me show you. Here is, from the IMP camera, here is our friend, the object. It's a very detailed image. Got a lot of bits in it. All right, look at how long it takes to go on. And at the very bottom of the frame, looking down, right here at the bottom, all right, here is the color of this object. And you can clearly see that it is different than the airbags. Look at the technology sparkling. Look at the Mylar compared to the bags, which are dirty brown because they plumped down on the red Martian dirt, so they got dirty. Whereas this stuff is nice and pristine because it was protected by something. Now, what they've done is these cute little cut lines so that you have to reassemble this to see it geometrically. But what's interesting is that this version is cloudy with the Mylar still covering the moving parts. Here's the fin sticking out. See the shadow of the fin? with the geometry on the ground, right there. And we have the other shot, 2105, where the technology is clearly been uncovered and it's crystal clear. In fact, let me try to go and find that and put these side by side, and you will see. All right, get rid of that. I got too many things up on the screen. There we are. All right. Here's 1205. All right. Well, missed it. There. All right. Here is the stuff covered. Now, this is going to be tricky because when you try to do color and black and white, it doesn't always work. There we are. All right. Now, we'll zoom this up to the same scale, and you can see that this is the same stuff here and here. All right, here's that rod that goes across right there. But this is before it's been uncovered, and this is after. Notice how cloudy this thing is, and now you can see the geometry on here. This is the weapon that we took to Mars, an anti-gravity Searle disk containing something that is viewed as a weapon on a science mission, ostensibly looking at rocks.
All right, what we're going to show you now is a video, a very stunning visual presentation that gives us this extra checkpoint, this extra dimension to reverse speech, is when videos are run backwards, the lips mouth out the speech reversals. I was hoping to have about 10 frames to show you tonight, but the same old story, we had computer crashes and problems galore, and we can only get one of them out. You're going to have to watch it two or three times, simply because it's a little bit confusing the way it runs, and I'm going to cue you up when it starts running backwards. We're going to run it forwards. You'll hear me say backwards. You'll then hear the soundtrack run backwards. I want you to take great note of the man's lips. You will hear the reversal with our seeds in it. As soon as you hear that, the next reversal is the alpha search the hill and they shake the loose dirt. I want you to watch that carefully. And then right at the end of the frame, you will hear another reversal that says show them with the bluer planet. I don't really know what that means. I assume the bluer planet is the Earth, obviously. Why, what they're going to show us, I'm not sure. But let's run that clip now. And we're going to run it probably about four times. I'll run it twice in a row, then we'll rewind. So let's go. There's me playing with my mouse.
Does not see the hazard anymore, and then it turns back and continues on its way to the location that we had specified. And it's these type of motions that we've been performing over the last 7 days and have been working
backwards. Showing the blue planet. And I'll start to run backwards.
Got an obstacle on my left. I'm going to start to turn and veer around it to my right. And after a little bit of motion, it does not see the hazard anymore, and then it turns back and continues on its way to the location that we had specified. And it's these type of motions that we've been performing over the last 7 days and have been working
Can we rewind that to the beginning again? The first clip is the clearest one of all. Who saw those lips? Can you see those lips sinking out the reversals? And notice too how you've got the gibberish, and then the reversal jumps into the gibberish extremely clearly, and then it goes back to gibberish again, and that's lit.
Does not see the hazard anymore, and then it turns back and continues on its way to the location that we had specified. And it's these type of motions that we've been performing over the last 7 days and have been working
now.
astronomy is that?
It is on the blue planet.
Sure, but a blue planet.
Just, do you see those
letters?
Okay, why don't we read again, back to the beginning, because the first clip is the clearest. And we'll do it once more, and then we'll...
I've got an obstacle on my left. I'm going to start to
can
turn.
Can we rewind that? Let's, your first clip's the clearest. We had software problems galore as we did this, and we'll get those problems corrected. And the next seminar I present, I'm going to play you several clips of this with body language links and head movement.
Does not
and head movement
the hazard
links.
Anymore, and then it turns back and continues on its way to the location that we had specified. And it's these type of motions that we've been performing over the last 7 days and have been working
There was my little brief demonstration. I was hoping to have more clips for you than that. So if we can have some lighting again, thank you. And we will move on. Who saw those lips movements sinking?
Lip reader who watched the backwards videos and has been able to accurately decipher the speech reversals simply by reading the lips.
And that gives us, as I said, this whole extra dimension to reverse speech is not only your ears, but your eyes can also see the reversals occurring. And I repeat again, the importance of this technology is so profound because all of us are seeking for truth. We all know and suspect that there is far more going on in our governmental systems, and now we can see NASA itself, so many sections of society. We have learned as a planet to lie and to deceive and hide the truth. It's become such a natural part of all of us, not just the government, not just NASA, but all of us as people have learned to accept this as normal. And reverse speech is here to say this is not normal. The time has come to change. The time has come to come back to the truth. And that's the whole mission I see of reverse speech, is to bring us to truth. And to force our governmental institutions to own up and tell us what is really going on. And I, quite frankly, want to start a revolution. I want to start a revolution of truth. And that will happen as all of us band together and demand that our leaders look at reverse speech and our leaders own up and admit to us, what do these things mean? Explain us. Tell us. This technology is extremely real. There is no doubt that these reversals exist. We've got so much independent confirmation for them. We must face up. So I'm going to go back to this desk here and play a few more reversals. How much time do we have, Richard? Okay. Quite a lot. All right. We'll play a few more key ones. I had a question back there. Let's take just a couple of questions. Yeah. Right, well that was a fundamentalist movement back in the late 70s and early 80s. It was essentially why I got into this in the first place. The way I actually got started in reverse speech, actually let me tell you a story. This is a real story of how I got into reverse speech, which I've never shared on the air as far as I can recall, and it gets on to your question there. Reverse speech was actually born in October of 1983. And I was living in Los Angeles at the time, and I had a Walkman strapped to my belt, and I was in the bathroom, and I leant over the toilet bowl, and the Walkman fell out of my belt straight into the toilet bowl. And I pulled this thing out, and I tried to fix it, and I couldn't fix it, and the only thing it did was played backwards. So I had this backwards playing Walkman that was absolutely useless to me. for some strange reason, I didn't throw this thing out, and I left LA, and I went back to Australia, and I hitched through Europe first. I spent four weeks hitching in Europe. I threw all my belongings away in London, except for a Walkman and a sleeping bag. And I went through Europe listening to tapes backwards. I didn't hear anything at all. I wasn't looking for something, but I was fascinated with the backwards playing gibberish. And when I got back to Australia, I put the Walkman into my junk drawer. Why I kept this thing, I have no idea. I mean, you know, all logic says throw this useless piece of equipment out. You know, fate has a very strange way of bringing us to truth or bringing us to our life's mission. And then I was running a halfway house for street kids. I've told you this story on the air, but I've always left out the first part. And I was running this halfway house for street kids, and there was an evangelist from the United States traveling through, and he's preaching that rock and roll was the devil's music, and if you played records backwards, you could hear these satanic messages. And my kids in the dropping center had heard this guy preach, and they'd gone home, and they were turning their records backwards. I'm sure some of you who are old enough can remember doing the same thing. And they were saying, and they came to me and said, well, David, we're hearing these demons speaking to us. And I was quite amused and perplexed. I was amused more than anything else. But I remembered this backward playing Walkman that had survived my escapades in Europe. And I went home and pulled this Walkman out. I wired it into my stereo and started running tapes backwards. And one of the very first things I heard was a backwards message on a rock and roll album, and the whole thing really intrigued me, and I just continued doing it. And it started off as a hobby, and then it turned to an obsession, and then I began to look at speech, and the very first reversal I found was Neil Armstrong walking on the moon, which I've already played to you. And for some reason I just stuck at it, and here we are 14 years later. And primarily went public last year for the very first time. I hesitated going public in a big way for several reasons. One was my speech stutter. I was thinking, gee, who am I to go on radio and with this stutter talking about speech? And it just seemed very ironic, so I hesitated. And also by nature, I'm actually a very skeptical person, and I really wanted to make darn sure this technology was real before I went and released it to the world. I wanted to make sure I could prove it and back it and validate it and verify it. And we have a question over there. Right. I believe it was deliberately artificially induced. It wasn't a speech reversal. The Beatles have always denied they did it intentionally. John Lennon actually says that the phrase says cranberry sauce. And I've actually listened to that several times. I cannot hear cranberry sauce, you know. Personally, I think it was a marketing exercise. John Lennon had just gone public saying they're more popular than Jesus Christ, and teenagers were burning their records, and their popularity dropped very dramatically. And 6 months later, they came out with this Paul is dead thing. And see what that led, and the upshoot of that was that teenagers began to play records backwards to hear these hidden messages that Paul had died, and they started to find other stuff that wasn't supposed to be there. And then the fundamentalists got on the bandwagon with their satanic messages. And then in October 1983, an Australian from the outback dropped the tape player in a toilet bowl, and the rest is history. So think it's a very amusing start to reverse speech. And I've always found it ironic, the beginnings of reverse speech. You may remember the reversal I played with my business partner. I'm so full of shit, and I just always find the whole thing interesting, you know. So fate has a strange way. So play what forward? Oh, well, I just played it for you forwards. Oh, yes, I did. He said it was a metaphor, and I said, a metaphor for what? It seems fairly straightforward to me, you know. So very. Reverse speech has been a very interesting road for me. I've got so many amusing stories that will just gradually release as time goes on. So we have a question there. You know what, I really haven't, and that's simply because I haven't really researched it. You know, I only got into the whole space UFO field 3 months ago, so and that was at the request of Art Bell. I've really been caught up with my research and my therapeutic practice. I use reverse speech in therapy. It's a very effective therapeutic tool. And I just simply haven't had time to do all the stuff I would like to do. Oh, reversals on myself. You know, we build this image about ourselves, you know. I mean, all of us like to believe in our own rightness. You know, we are correct. Our views are correct. And I remember back in 92, I found a bunch of reversals on myself that really scared the living daylights out of me. If anyone wants to buy my book, the whole transcript is in my book. And I don't know what page it's on. But the reversals told me I was not as wonderful as I thought I was, and that's not very nice to hear, quite frankly. Yeah. Oh, sure. We all know the truth on an unconscious level. Reverse speech is a communication process. We are constantly transmitting reversals to each other all the time. Many of the tests I've done, the electroencephalograph testing, where the brain is seen to be receiving and responding to speech reversals. Well known. Who here have heard of the works of Carl Jung? Carl Jung theorized about a collective unconscious, that at the base level of humanity is a storehouse of knowledge that contains all mysteries, all secrets from the dawn of time onwards. I maintain that part of the reason the collective unconscious works is through the transfer of speech reversals. In the time I've been speaking to you now, I have told you backwards what I plan to do this weekend, what I did last week, why I'm really here. And you have that knowledge now in the collective unconscious, and the collective unconscious grows like an information bank. I know that doesn't really answer your question, but it gets close to it. What you're wanting to know, whether they know... My gut tells me no. I don't think they do know on a conscious level. They're news reporters. I haven't done reversals on the reporters, so to be quite frank, I can't answer that question. So, a question over there, then I really got to get back to play more Mars reversals. Yeah. That is one of the paradoxes of reverse speech. Like my daughter says, "Aga," and that reverses to "What's that?" See, one of the common misperceptions about reverse speech is that what we are doing is we are reversing the words. Like if you read a text, read it backwards, can you get the reversals? But reversals have got nothing to do with the words that we use. They're to do with the sounds of speech. And when you flip speech backwards, you get into a whole different world altogether. Letters disappear, words disappear. I don't totally know the reason for that. I just know that when you flip it backwards, you get something completely different. Two people can say exactly the same sentence, and you'll get a different reversal. Boy, look at the questions here. Well, you guys are really interested in this, yeah. You want to know how that happens? Well, the very simple thing is to rehearse your speech beforehand, to make sure that you are extremely left-brained, you know exactly what you're saying, to keep your monotone level very level without varying your tone. Reverse speech occurs in the fluctuations of speech. If I speak to you in a very monotone manner like this and make very sure I don't change my voice and keep it at exactly the same level without any pauses or stutters, reversals in this section will hardly exist. But if I talk normally, like I'm talking now, then it'll drop down. There's also hypnotic techniques as well. You know, I'm a hypnotherapist. I've been doing hypnosis for 15 years now. You can command the mind under hypnosis to turn off the reversals. You cannot get reversals to lie, but you can instruct the mind not to deliver them. So there's two ways. One is to make sure you're extremely left brain and very monotone in your speech. Also, under hypnosis, you can turn the reversals off. Also, under hypnosis, you can instruct the mind. I have a question I'm commonly asked is, can you hear reversals consciously? And the answer is, you can. You can instruct the mind to deliver to the conscious mind the content of the reversals. And I've been able to do this successfully several times. And there you're really looking at scientific mind reading. Yes.
Let me add a note on that. When David did the reversals on the first Bell tapes of Savage and Villard from NASA, suddenly all of the NASA people have been reading their statements. Yes. I have been attending JPL press conferences for 30-some years up the street here. I have never seen mission scientists come out with carefully prepared statements. And it's now agency-wide. When Lawrence Soderbaum the other day was on the Cassini press conference on the mission going to Saturn, he read his statement. They're all reading their statements. Now, where this, of course, is defeated is during the questions and answers. So, of course, you go into the questions and answers, and then you hope there are provocative questions that trigger the emotions that indicate, you know, or trigger the reversals. Now, the other thing here is we have a stunning database of tapes just on NASA alone. I can keep this man busy for the next 200 years. So what we're going to do is this. We're going to clone David. We have this cloning project.
Oh, my God. Imagine that. Seriously.
Seriously,
what we do need is we need all of you out there to learn how to do this. Imagine if there wasn't just one person doing it, me, but 500 people doing it, or 1,000 people, or 10,000. I mean, this is how change begins. This is how it happens. If we want to change it, it begins with you. We can start a groundswell movement from this audience onwards. Just imagine all of you doing reversals, contacting the media, faxing the media. Believe me, reverse speech is an extremely hot topic. The media love this stuff. They lap it up. You know, I do probably about 20 or 30 hours a week of radio and TV interviews. I've done 3 TV shows in the last week alone. We've got a couple being filmed next week. This thing is growing rapidly. If all of you are doing it, we will start a groundswell movement. Eventually, they're going to have no choice but to admit it. You know, talking about NASA reversals dropping off, in the last 6 months, Clinton's reversals have dropped down dramatically. I used to find reversals on Clinton constantly. Since the election, they've dropped down to maybe 1 every 2 or 3 minutes. And I got reversals on Clinton. I played in the Art Bell show, and I think I've got it here, I'm not sure, that actually says, "Seal the mouth from oats." An extremely clear reversal on his election speech. And I guarantee you, they know about this. They're watching this. I lectured in Washington in 1992. I gave a 4-day seminar to mid-level representatives of the CIA and the FBI and Naval Intelligence. Like a fool, not knowing American society, I freely and willingly surrendered all my research notes to them, thinking that they would fund this wonderful research of mine. And they said, "Thank you for coming to Washington, Mr. Oates. We appreciate it very much." And I haven't heard from them since. So, you know what? I'm amazingly enough, they actually let me record the 4-day seminar, and I still have those audio tapes. I could not believe they let me walk out of that with the tapes, and I've got those tapes. The tapes survived the fire. Who knows that we were arsoned out 6 months ago? We were burned to the ground. My home and offices were totally and completely destroyed. Strange Universe have just finished filming a story on this. It will be airing either next week or the week after next. They've been researching this quite extensively. It is a complicated web of conspiracy and intrigue. The fire department were not on the scene for 45 minutes. Their logs say they came within 5 minutes. The 911 tape they gave us was totally different to the official 911 tape. Strange Universe managed to get a hold of that. They're going to play the two tapes side by side on their program. The tape was we was given compared to the official tape. The fire logs compared to actually what happened. It's one of the reasons why this technology has got to get out there. It cannot be just me. If it's just me, it's not going to work. It's got to be everyone has to do this. And anyway.
Say again?
Hey? Yeah, right. You know, I tell you what, I am totally scared going to the toilet with my cell phone in my pocket now. I think, oh my God, what is going to happen when I do that? Yeah, there is a fairly simple way. You want me to give away trade secrets here. You need an auto-reverse player, and you need to find the switch that changes the heads from top to bottom and simply snip it. It's about a 15-minute modification, but let me warn you, I've had many people who have done it. They've eventually phoned us up and said, look, I've just destroyed four Walkmans in a row, and it's far cheaper and more efficient, believe me, to buy the equipment from us. We sell the equipment ourselves. We've got a desk out there where you can get them. We are currently using modified Iowa machines, but we're in the process of manufacturing our own. And let me tell you, a very exciting development. We have just finished perfecting software that will actually locate the reversals. It will actually find the specific wave signature of reversals. That's going to cut my work down tremendously. And our next step, we are going to start to train a speech recognition program to actually decipher them. And we think we're about 2 or 3 years away from that. That's very, very close. And then reverse speech is going to move into the sci-fi age altogether. Boy, so many, you know, every time I lecture, the interest level is so high. Go on, question them. Absolutely correct. A reel-to-reel machine will do it too, run backwards. A lot of computer software will run in reverse. I mean, there's many, many means of doing it out there. Gee, I might just take questions for a while.
Yeah, we need to kind of wrap this up. I've got two things I need to do. There is a major, major, major surprise that I've been holding in suspension for the end of this. But before we can do that, we have to bring on Nick. And before we do that, I need to bring Rick up here.
Well,
right?
You know, I have an idea.
So let me tell you what I'm going to do with Rick, all right? Rick heads this independent team. Rick's material and presentation will be in the video that we are producing, all right? And what I want you to do is to say a couple of words just about what you're doing, what you need in terms of help, where we can get hold of you, people can get hold of you, and then you'll see they're independent. Again, it's an independent confirmation that we're on the right track from Rick Savard and his group.
Thanks very much, Nick. Thanks. Won't take much time here. Basically, our group is called the Near Pathfinder Anomaly Analysis Group, and basically it's a group that got together over the Internet. I've never met any of the team members face-to-face, but I think it's that same technology that you used when you put your first book together, and it's worked very well. We have a couple of image analysts. We also just brought on a geologist, and we haven't found any tanks or any weapons yet, but we have found some pretty incredible geometric objects that we cannot at this point determine any natural process that would have created it. Our work is ongoing. We've been at it for about 60 days, we seem to spend more time on this than we do on our day jobs now. We have a website. If you're connected to the web, it's www.mufor.org/ARES, as in Aries. So if you'd go see that, you can get a hold of us through that website. We have email addresses in there, and I hope you all go see what we've been working so hard on the last few months.
Thank you, Rick. The problem with putting together a work in progress is that sometimes the work extends beyond the progress. So I appreciate your forbearance. And as I said, you'll be seeing the independent results of their analysis on the two. We're going to do a two-part video, which will be 4 hours, where we put all this together so that we have time. And as I said, we'll start working on that, not tomorrow, but maybe the day after. Nick? What we need to do is to get your overhead set up, so you put it right here in front. Let me give some context to what Nick Skouras is going to do. The thing that David has been asking over the last several days is, what's the motivation? We had a conversation a couple days ago, and he says, well, okay, he says, but why? And this, of course, has been my question for 15 years. Why? Why cover up the most astonishing discovery in the history of science, if not the history of mankind? And why then overlay it with all kinds of, frankly, bizarre associations? Why, if we can believe David's work, take weapons on a scientific mission to Mars? Why have we landed and there's a field of weapons out there? Why are we looking at a battlefield, as someone said during the break? There are so many profound questions, and in an effort to begin to move us closer to some answers, what I asked Nick to do, as I said earlier, was to delve into the history, the arcane, strange, frankly, bizarre history of the origin of this place up the street, which by default has become the window on the solar system for all of mankind. There is no other game in town. The Russians, remember, the Russians tried to go to Mars a few months ago, and they wound up in the Pacific. JPL and NASA are the only game in town. And if only a tenth of what we suspect is going on, it's enough to require a congressional, if not a presidential, investigation tomorrow morning.
As an insight into the possible why for what is going on, I asked Nick to put together, from available materials, this is publicly available research materials, on the record, published books, documents, blogs, primarily drawn from certain so-called secret societies, which were unbeknownst to 99.99% of the American people, to say nothing of the press corps who went over there to have a party tonight, were heavily involved in the formation and creation of this laboratory. And the interconnections between the early years of the space program,
the Army associations, the von Braun Germanic associations, and the associations of the personnel, which Nick is going to talk about directly, are now so compelling in terms of a large-scale picture as to an answer for the weirdness. When you want to find out why your universe doesn't work, you basically have to reach beyond the edge of the paper. And fortunately, there's a record which tells us, without question, that this place is pretty strange, and that strangeness now has an overall gestalt. There is a method, a meaning in the madness. And so with that, are you ready? Nick?
Yeah, Nick has asked me to just play three reversals for you first. I'm going to play them very, very quickly. I'm not going to tell you what they mean. He is going to explain them to you. I found these reversals. They totally threw me for a loop, and I wasn't ever going to play them publicly. And when I compared notes with him this afternoon, I was blown away. Let me play these reversals as quickly as I can.
Namely, a bright dot in each of the 25 blue images. The next slide shows that bright dot in the blue. It shows that you can also see it in the red.
Okay, a classic discussion. In reverse, he says, who will meet God?
Who will meet God?
Who will meet God? Who will meet God?
Okay, that's clue number one. We're going to play clue number two very quickly. You know, I don't know. This was in the Mars press conference in July 31st. I did not document the speakers, mainly because I never anticipated playing these. But if you want to go to my website next week at www.reversespeech.com, I'll have the speakers up. Here's the second one.
And in order to get to those various locations, we sent sequences that contained a set of basically discrete motion commands.
This reversal says, will... did you accept the goddess? And we're going to do one more, and then I'm handing the floor over. This is, once again, I don't have the speaker, mainly because, as I said before, I wasn't anticipating playing these. These reversals really did not seem to make much sense to me at the time. But along with the reversal I played you earlier, with our seeds in it, it's the meaning is really extremely profound. And we're going to run this.
And the other day I checked to see how far 100 meters was, and it's surprisingly far on this terrain. The rover would be just a little speck on the horizon. So.
And this reversal says, soul journey, You know our prize. Oops, now it's not playing. How weird.
Soul Journey, you know our prize.
There it is, the last one played. Okay, Soul Journey, you know our prize.
Soul Journey, you know our prize.
Okay, you'll hear that. I'll do it one more time for those who missed it. Soul Journey.
Soul Journey, you know our prize.
And on that note, I'm going to hand it over.
Please hold the questions, all right? The image I have up here came down to Earth literally a few days ago, all right? Here's the tank out in front. Here's the other one, 90 degrees. This is the one on the hill, all right? Listen to this research.
Lights, please. Okay, I'm just going to read from a paper here that I have presented, that I put together, because I'm not a public speaker, so I figured I'd just read from this. I'm going to give you a brief history of JPL and the possible reasons and connections to the weird symbolisms and that are in our institutions and our government. On what used to be a desolate spot in the Arroyo Seco north of Pasadena lies a 165-acre complex called Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Jack Parsons, a brilliant young chemist, forever changed the course of rocketry by adding, with a brilliant flash of insight, the chemical potassium perchlorate to the black powder ignition systems being employed. With the advent of the Second World War, new funding came into this new science for its potential military applications. Because of its expertise in rocket propulsion research that began in the mid-1930s, while Robert Goddard was in Roswell, New Mexico, conducting research and experimentation, JPL was chosen to launch our nation's first satellite, Explorer 1, in response to the launch of the first Soviet satellite named Sputnik in 1957. Explorer 1, whose primary discovery was the Van Allen radiation belts which surround the Earth, marked the beginning of the American space age on January 31st. Originally under Army jurisdiction, President Eisenhower, concerned about JPL in the hands of military-industrial complex, had JPL transferred to the civilian sector under a NASA Caltech contract, where it was given its mandate to explore deep space. JPL led the U.S. unmanned missions to the moon, with the Ranger and Surveyor projects to Mercury, Venus, and Mars with Mariner, to Mars with Viking, and to Jupiter and Saturn with Voyagers 1 and 2. JPL also conducted tracking and communications for Pioneers 10 and 11, and has recently carried out the Galileo project, which not only reimaged and carried out experiments to study Jupiter's atmosphere, but sent the spacecraft to reimage Europa, one of the moons of Jupiter known to have volcanic activity, oceans, and enough internal heat to have spawned life forms that should have evolved and remained undisturbed for 5 billion years, which Richard conceptualized and published this idea in an article 17 years ago, for which he was acknowledged by Arthur C. Clarke in 2010 and was generously acknowledged by NASA's Dr. Robert Jastrow. John Whiteside Parsons later went on to create Jet Propulsion Laboratory, also known to insiders as Jack Parsons Lab, JPL. There's little biographical information to be found on him in the general literature for some reason, and most of his papers and books are classified by the Department of Defense. One thing that is known, at least within the planetary science community, is that Parsons was immortalized by our government by having a crater named for him on our moon. But perhaps the reason for the paucity of information on Parsons has to do with the aspects of his private life that most at JPL and NASA might rather be left unsaid. One aspect of Parsons' private life that has been well documented is his curious association with an individual known as Aleister Crowley. Given the demonstrable importance of Crowley in Jack Parsons' private and professional life, one needs to ask, who was Crowley, And what was his unseen role in the founding and evolution of a place called JPL? Aleister Crowley was the premier Western magician of the 20th century, who some have called the most evil man in the world. Crowley simply turned himself the Great Beast, whose secret name in his order was Phoenix, for reasons that will later become apparent. Parsons became one of Crowley's greatest students, said by many to be his successor. Parsons quickly moved up the ranks of Crowley's organization, called the Order of the Eastern Temple, or the OTO, and was appointed head of the lodge at Pasadena by Crowley himself. Parsons swore an oath of allegiance to guide humanity into an age of communion with the gods, using his vast arsenal of talents, both scientific and magical. The objectives of those like Crowley who practice Western magic is to advance humanity by contact with higher intelligence, that is, with extraterrestrials, either by calling them down or traveling to them, which, if the objects on STS-48 and the STS videos are what they appear to be, we almost certainly can do. Or, according to Crowley, one can contact higher intelligence by becoming one with them, that is, by metamorphing into man-gods or supermen. This was Crowley's primary goal, attainable through the ancient systems of the Hebrew and Greek Kabbalah and other forms of metaphysical science. All practitioners of magic, philosophically based occultists such as theosophists or Freemasons, have been consumed with interest in finding the origins of the human race. It is claimed by the founders of these orders that they have received guidance from direct contact with those who call themselves the secret chiefs of the Great White Brotherhood. These masters, we are told, have literally dictated the laws and agendas of these schools of thought. Crowley claimed to have had many such contacts, but two were of greatest importance to him and apparently to our space program in redirecting his entire life and thus changing the face of modern magic. It appears that he was given revelation almost a century ago about things coming to pass even as we speak. The first contact Crowley made was in April 1904 in Cairo. Cairo, by the way, is an Arabic word for Mars. Crowley tells us he encountered an entity who he considered to be his holy guardian angel. This entity identified himself as Iwas and proceeded to dictate to Crowley the Book of the Law, or the canon of 20th century magical practice. In this book, Iwas decrees that do thou wilt shall be the whole of the law, and went on to say that I am a god of war and vengeance. Choose ye an island and fortify it. Dung it about with enginery of war, I will give you a war engine. With it you shall smite the people, and none shall stand before you. I am the warrior lord of the 40s. This last statement was quite prophetic, considering it was dictated 40 years before World War II, and 93 years before the revelations you've seen this evening, 93 being the number of this book of the law. He also gave Crowley a cipher, which is being used by ufologists to decode contactee experiences. We are told that Tibet is where these masters of the Great White Brotherhood, also called the Himalayan Brotherhood, are said to hail from. The Aryan race itself is also believed to have come from the mountains of Tibet, lying at 33 degrees north latitude. Roswell, UFO crash in 1947, Mount Palomar, the largest post-war observatory, Rancho Santa Fe, the Heaven's Gate, White Sands, the first A-bomb test, Nagasaki, Japan, the second atomic bomb dropped, Baghdad, Iraq, object of Gulf War, and Phoenix, the Phoenix Lights, moving across the city at 19.5, are all at 33 degrees north. Incidentally, Santiago, Chile, lies at 33 degrees south, where the ships of STS-80 were filmed by the shuttle tracking up towards 19.5 degrees south. The word Aryan comes from the word Aries, which is the first sign of the Western astrological zodiac ruled by Mars. There are many legends concerning Tibet that speak of a race of supermen inhabiting this region on Earth, a legend which many German intelligentsia and pre-World War II occult societies like the Tula Society adhered to. Unbeknownst to most of the world today, the founders of the Nazi Party were steeped in occult traditions and were profoundly influenced by the teachings of the Tula Society, whose ideologies were a warped version of theosophy and ancient German mythology. By the time of Hitler's rise to power, most of pre-World War II European occult traditions were dominated by the system that Aleister Crowley created. And Hitler himself was envious of Crowley's infamy as the most evil man in the world, as well as his prowess. Crowley claims that his second otherworldly encounter, which resulted in an event more profound, even more profound influence on his work in magic, occurred at Montauk, Long Island, in New York in 1918. This entity introduced himself as Lamb, which Crowley was quick to point out meant pathmaker, pathfinder in the Tibetan language. It is from this word that the lamas of Tibet are so called. The lamb was also the ancient symbol for Aries, as well as the resurrected god rising from its ashes. Crowley drew an effigy of Lamb, which eerily represents the popular modern image of the alien Grey some half a century later. Lamb told Crowley a story about Mars concerning a lotus flower, the three-petaled Pathfinder lander, symbolic for its hyperdimensional physics, looking at a mountain peak which had sharp edges where something sits and shines like the sun on water that has been covered over. He said it was a seed waiting to be born. This story is also related in the Book of the Law, as dictated by Iwas, where it is written that there will be a reward of Horus, the babe in the egg waiting to be reborn, whose number is 97. Lamb then goes on to state, "Thou art to go this way," and speaks of a lightning flash of enlightenment, which in occult tradition is symbolic of Mars, the god of fire and war. Hitler used these identical themes during the Blitzkrieg, or lightning attacks, on neighboring countries where his officers wore the lightning bolts on their lapels, and were the notorious SS, the original Men in Black. The previous chapter to the one Lamb dictated was called The Tank, or The Engine of War. The systems of thought on which the various mystery schools are based are universal systems of laws of nature in the solar system, reflecting properties which... And there is the... let me see. Okay, yeah, the North Twin Peak, where Lamb spoke of the mountain peak with the sharp edges, like a pyramid, where something sits and shines like sun on the water that has been covered over with the seeds buried.
Can I just play one reversal based on something you just said about the egg waiting to be reborn? Here's a reversal that says, "You scanned a wide womb."
You scanned a wide womb. You scanned a wide womb. You scanned a wide womb.
And the Fords is talking about looking at the scene where Rover landed. So it's the egg waiting to be born, the wide womb, and the seeds. I just wanted to play that.
Okay. What you said, thank you. The systems of thought on which these various mystery schools are based are universal systems of the laws of nature in the solar system, reflecting properties which are embedded in everything, including man. No one person, people, or race could lay claim to these laws. Two exquisite examples of such a system are the Hebrew alphabet and the Great Pyramid at Giza. The designers of these two similar but unique creations encode the internal systems of the tetrahedron within them an unfolding pattern. Okay, thank you. You told me not to swallow the mic. It's very important when you're trying to speak, you know, you swallow the mic and okay. I'm sorry, the designers of these two similar but unique creations encode the internal systems of the tetrahedron within them in an unfolding pattern from higher dimensions into our three, like a schematic blueprint for creation. The builders of the Great Pyramid...
He would be only too happy to let...
...in the confines of its structure, but they built it out of limestone or calcium carbonate, a mineral which reinforces for us the idea of the creation of life...
...should we be. Suppose...
...remains of bone structure of the endo and exoskeletons of living creatures. According to the work of our colleague Stan Tenen, the Hebrew alphabet encodes the revolving shadow pattern of the same mathematical spin which mimics life, unfolding from hyperdimensions into our own. The mathematical spiral from its topological shape, called the tutor,